If you would, open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 12. I've kind of wrestled through what I was going to share this morning, and you know, as the evangelism pastor, I really feel like the Lord gave me good opportunity as I begin to witness different things. So Wednesday night we talked about the whole situation that had happened with the assassination, and we were talking through it, and one of the things that we found was, is we kept coming back to Scripture. We kept coming back to the Word of God. And through that, we began to find comfort, stability, focus, and purpose. And so, one of the things, as I'm hearing, as a pastor, you hear different things taking place, happening. And so, basically, one of the things that I hear is basically three different sides starting to come out. And so you have one side that begins to celebrate. And Jesus says, I tell you all these things ahead of time so that you'll know, so that when it happens, you're aware. I told you this. That's a comforting thing, and it's also a stabilizing thing, that we don't get carried away with emotions or thoughts, that we're anchored in truth. It's an anchor for our soul. So you have three different sides. One celebrates. Scripture tells us don't be surprised at that. We see that with the two witnesses in Revelation. We're not surprised. It's not surprising. Ultimately, we see Christ on the cross, and he says, forgive them. They know not what they do. You know, I have to leave that in God's hands. Our battle's not against flesh and blood. I just don't go there. That's in God's hands. God will take care of that. What's he called the church to do? So then I have another side that's starting to come out, and that you're hearing come out, and that side is, okay, well, we're just not going to take it anymore. We were talking about this in men's prayer this morning. For any of the men, I'd love to invite you to come in early and join us on Sunday mornings as we begin to prepare for the worship service. And we're just not going to take it anymore. Well, Ephesians 6 is clear. Our battle's not against flesh and blood. The Crusades didn't work. We've been down that road. That doesn't work. And then I was sitting there on Friday morning as Michelle had the children at co-op. And in between some of my studies, I was helping with laundry. And so as desired to care for my wife and family. In between studies, I take a break and begin to turn on the news a little bit. And I see this couple from Los Angeles. And we know Los Angeles is Los Angeles. We get it. And so I'm sitting here and I'm watching this young couple. The guy, I think, probably younger than me. The young lady was a good bit younger. And also multiple college kids, and I'm hearing the gospel coming out. And so as your pastor of evangelism, as I'm sitting here and I'm waiting to see what's the church going to do. Church on a whole. I know what we're going to do. I know what we're going to proclaim. But what's the church on a whole going to do? Because that's the key. You got liberal, you got conservative, you got Democrat, you got Republican, you got Christian. People used to ask me, what are you? I say, I'm Christian. What does that mean? I'm Christian. So I'm gonna come back to what does truth say? I'm Christian. We're not like the rest of the world. We're going to follow Christ. We're the representatives of Christ. We're his ambassadors here on earth. But as I begin to listen to this young couple, and they begin to share, you know, they're both crying, and they're going, listen, we're not going to return evil for evil. We're just not going to do it. We believe that God's in control. We believe God has a plan and a purpose. And we believe that the church is separate, and we're supposed to proclaim the gospel and the good news. I'm sitting there folding socks with tears running down my eyes going, thank you. Because that's what we should be saying. It would be easy to allow the emotions and the anger and everything to start to take over. You're not going to have peace that way, but nobody's going to win that way. And Scripture tells us we're not ignorant of the schemes of the devil. Ephesians 6 would tell us that as well. Our battle's not against flesh and blood. So I'll read to you, and they were kind of quoting some out of Romans. But verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Do we have compassion? Yes. Do we have a sorrow at different times? Yes. but it's not a sorrow that overcomes, according to 1 Thessalonians 4. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind. I can't think that I'm any better than anybody else. But associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Be careful, thinking we got it all figured out. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. So we're just going to stand for the truth. Not desiring to be belligerent. If possible, so far it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Paul would say, I become all things to all men that I may win some. You mean to tell me that I'm supposed to care about someone that's complete opposite, their soul? Yeah, we're different. We're the church. We're called to be different. Verse 19, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy, okay, here we go, church. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We have an opportunity as a church at this particular time. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians, for a wide door for effectual service has been opened to me. There are many adversaries. We have to come back to the anchor. And if in fact we will realize, okay, Lord, you're at work here. We trust you. We know you're sovereign. We know you control all things. We're not ignorant of the schemes of the devil. The desire would be to divide and cause us to go into the realm of the flesh and to become combative and retributive. We're going to leave that to the Lord. We're going to leave that to the law. What we're going to do as the church is we're going to come back to the message is clear in Matthew chapter 11. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and he will give you rest. The message we continue to proclaim is come unto him. And so to me, I don't care what side of the aisle it's on. What I do care is if I start to see a bruised reed or a dimly burning wick, it doesn't matter where they come from, what they're coming out of, all the stains that we've all had at different times. Okay, Lord, this is a soul that you died for. He says on the cross, and it's always been seared in my mind, forgive them, they know not what they do. I came out of the world, big time in the world, so I know how easily it is to get lost and influenced in the world. I also know how freeing and powerful and forgiving and resurrective power it is to be called out and to have the Spirit of Christ breathe into you to live a new life. So as a church, my encouragement to you as a pastor is let's come back. What does truth say? God, you're in control. You know all things. We're going to keep carrying the mantle of the gospel of Jesus Christ that he's called us to carry. So may he strengthen us in these times ahead to do that. And may he keep our hearts soft to these things, not going so far in to allowing whatever other spirit of anger, retribution, debauchery, whatever, to lead us down the wrong path. And I was hearing many young college kids, just sharing the gospel so clear that, that God would use such a thing to make the gospel so clear in these young people's lives. I was praising the Lord. I'm sitting there going, thank you, Lord. Praise God. I'm watching 20-somethings stand firm for the gospel. The Lord knows what each one of us needs to compel us forward. And so, I'm praying for those things at this time. The Lord would just solidify and raise some of these young people up to stand firm for the gospel of Jesus Christ the right way. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Fathers, we come before you. Lord, I just want to thank you for rescuing me. I want to thank you for rescuing your people. Lord, every one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us. Every one of us have gone the wrong way. Every one of us have tried to do things in our own power. Lord, you tell us in your word not to be ignorant of the schemes of the devil. His desire is to divide, to destroy, and to kill, and to cause doubt. And Lord, we hear your word and we believe you. So our desire as your people or as a pastor at this church desires to proclaim is, Lord, we want to obey you. We want to follow you. We trust you that you're good and that you're working good through all things for those who love you. But you know what it's going to take to propel maybe young people, young believers to take that next step of faith. You know what it's going to take to say maybe a widow, Lord, to cause her to become closer to you. We don't know all these things, but what we do know is that we trust you and that we obey you. You know what it's going to take, even for someone that makes a horrific action, that Lord, that it could be that which possibly brings them to you. You tell us to stay in the love of God and to pray, Lord, in the Spirit. So, Lord, my prayer today is that, Father, I can only imagine what every person that's touched through this whole situation is going through. Lord, we know that you know all that. And so, Father, our prayer is that your name would be glorified, souls would be saved, people would be strengthened, people would turn from their ways, they would repent, make decisions for you. Lord, you're going to deal with the wicked of the land. But, Lord, so was I. I was wicked. I was not good. And, Lord, you rescued us. So, Lord, as your people, may we stand and say, listen, I don't know everything, but what I do know is we've been given a commission to go share the gospel. Strengthen us, protect us from our own emotions and being led down a wrong road that would not be pleasing to you or glorify you. Lord, we trust you. Where our prayers is that you and your son will be glorified to the highest degree through all these situations, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.